Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.
Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery, Camp Chef, Thorn Broadheads, and Deer Camp Coffee.
Hey guys, welcome to the Boner Planet Podcast. Myself, Dave Thompson, tonight along with Jamie Noboom. And today we're talking the Lindsay Way with Jeff. Jeff, how are you, man? How you been?
I'm great, man. How you guys?
Doing well. So Jeff and I just came off of Instagram Live. For some of you who might have actually caught that, and Jeff's internet just kept cutting out.
I felt like the 80-year-old dad you're trying to show him how to watch something on YouTube. That was me. Oh,
it's so funny. You know, I learned a long time ago with this stuff. Like, I have to, like, if I have any sort of live things, I absolutely use like anything I can that's like as Wi-Fi connected as I can, or hardwired. Because I learned, we used to do we still do, I should say, the Christmas special, the Boner Planet Christmas special. It's just a big giveaway thing, a lot of fun and all that. But Tim and I, it's like a 2-hour event. And so we're doing it live. And, you know, last year was a huge, huge debacle. Like, it just kept, remember that, Jamie, just kept cutting off. And not because of internet connection, because the software just kept stopping after 40 minutes every time. We're like, what is happening? It's terrible.
Yeah, there's enough pressure going on.
With it. Yeah. So Jeff, tell us what's been going on at the show, man. What have you guys been up to over there?
Man, this is kind of our busy time of year. You know, obviously we're not filming a lot. We're doing voiceovers and stuff, but every year it's 10 to 12 episodes. This year, I think it was 11, and we got to preview them. So we're previewing them 2 or 3 different times. And, you know, Kyle takes them down every hunt. You got to figure, you got 10, 12 episodes. Every hunt is about 6 to 8 hours worth of footage. Kyle takes it down to about 3 or 4 hours. Sends it to the guys at Heartland Bowhunter, and then they break it down and send it to us. It goes through Sean, Mike, Brandon Franklin's the guy that does the editing. And by the time it gets to us, we look at it, make our couple of changes, add VOs, put our own twist on it. And it's not that bad, but when you start doing it times 10 in a very busy summertime, when you're trying to do food plots or summer vacations, you don't know where you're going to be at. And internet connections as far as the TV show, it's one of our busier times of the year for sure.
So I find that when we're, you know, when Jamie and I are at hunt camp, we're at hunt camp together 90% of the time. And when we're there, we seem to like, this is where I like, I'm kind of, I don't want to say envious or jealous, but like, I feel like it's really hard to get motivated. Like when you're there, like for us to like film anything. So like, we'll start off with these great intentions. Like, all right, we're going to film this. We actually are launching a new program called Gun Hunter Planet coming up. And we've been working on, Jamie's been working on that a lot actually lately. And just trying to put together some like gun hunting type stuff. Right. And again, same as what we do now, but just a little different content. But, you know, so we go with this intent to like shoot all these little scenes and get all these little clips. And then we end up with like maybe 3 out of like the 40 that we had planned.
You know, you're laying there watching a movie or eating snacks, and you take a nap, and you're like, oh hell, we only got an hour before we gotta go out, and then yeah. Well, we'll get it tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get it tomorrow. I'm that way. If I don't have a cameraman, it's like I got my GoPro and I need to be filming me doing this or doing that or filming my dad. I'm like, oh man, who cares? We'll wait on Kyle.
I got this new camera, actually, I was going to tell you about. I think it's called the DJI Pocket 2. I don't know if you've seen this. And anyway, it's like a little GoPro, but it sticks up like so, like that. Actually, I might have it here. Hold on a minute.
Made by DJI, the same drone company.
Yeah, so they got they have a couple cameras, actually. They have a little, I think it's called Osmos. I think it's like a little GoPro. So they have that as well. But, you know, GoPro is so fidgety sometimes that I always get frustrated with them nowadays. I have a hard time buying them because I feel like every time I buy one, it gets fidgety and breaks on me. And then I feel like I'm wasting money. Or you know, there was one time, because we self-film everything. So there was one time where we had, you know, we would set up like five of them in a circle, like around the hunt area, so that when it came in, you would just hit a remote control and they'd all turn on. Well, that did work actually a couple of times and it was amazing. But then they started failing when we did it, and then it became a huge hassle because then you have to charge them all.
Yeah.
So that got old real fast.
Five cameras.
I know what's in here, but anyway, whatever. It's a small camera, and what it does is it'll follow you. So if you wanted to, like, say, self-film something, you could, like, let's say a deer was coming in. Sorry, I dropped something here. Let's say a deer's coming in. It would, if this was the camera, it's not. It would actually, you could touch where you want, like, to follow. So if a deer's walking, and let's just say you had time to do this, you would click the deer, and it would actually turn like this by itself and follow the deer up to 40 degrees or something, whatever. There's a specific amount it can go. But anyway, so when I'm like, and I need help filming something, a lot of times I use that now. I put it on a tripod and then I just touch myself and then boom. That didn't sound right.
Yeah, you might want to edit that one.
I'm not editing it because it was legit. I wasn't saying anyway, it just didn't sound right. So anyways, I touch myself on the screen like this, and then therefore it follows me. It's pretty cool. And it was cheap. It wasn't even expensive.
Well, is it like wide angle like the GoPro?
It has options. You can do wide or non-wide.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So it's extremely helpful, actually.
And what was it called? The DJI?
It's called the DJI Pocket 2.
Pocket 2, okay.
Yeah, so it's real small. It's like, I want to say it's about this big total. And it comes out, it has its own little case. You charge it through a USB-C, and it works really well. Like, I was blown away the quality of it. I mean, it's basically the quality of a GoPro, but yeah. It's not going to be like a DSLR or anything like that. But what are you guys filming in right now?
Oh, what cameras? Yeah. Well, we pretty much just swapped all over to the Canon R5s. You know, those cameras are like this big, and you know, we've been carrying on these Sony FS7s, these FS5s. We've shot 5 years with the same Sony FS7, and we're actually getting ready to sell it. But you know, it's that, between that and the lens and the huge camera arm we have to carry around in the tree. I mean, it feels like a 20-30 pound setup. And then now we're going to this little Canon R5 and it's flipping 2 pounds. You know, it doesn't make sense. And the quality is, there's no quality lost. It's just amazing how technology just keeps advancing in the camera world. And you know, upgrading gets expensive, but
wow, man, it's 8K, huh? This thing's a beast.
Yeah.
8K, no boom. Can you imagine that? We invested in, we went from, and I asked you this question last time on the show. That's why I was curious, because a lot of times I feel like everybody goes a couple of years and they upgrade to something different. And we're the same way. We'll pay a couple $1,000 whatever to upgrade at some point. And we'll probably have that coming up. But one of the things about Canon that I had a hard time with, now keep in mind, your footage is going to be going on a big screen. So like someone's watching a 65 inch TV, you have to have really high res for that. So your videos are a little different than mine. So ours are specifically internet. So for us, we don't really need like the super, super, you know, quality ones, because we can get away with such a small screen. You're going to get 4K in a tiny, you know, like a GoPro. It's no problem.
Right.
However, when we did film with the Canons, the one thing I noticed is the size of the file being so massive.
It is.
So like, what are you running in that camera? Are you running like 128 gig, 256 gig, or?
I think it's a 512 is what we got. Like,
yeah, three, there you go.
512 cards. We just bought a 20 terabyte hard drives. We just bought two of them. So if that tells you what kind of footage we're.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is the downside as technology evolves. Like you said, 8K and.
That's cool.
Super slow-mo. And I've always said, you know, by the time it gets dumbed down to a phone screen or a TV, you're losing a ton in translation. You know, you're losing a lot. But, you know, if you're watching it on, if you're doing a direct download and you're watching it on your computer or your phone or something like that, or our Blu-ray, you can see it. So that's the reason we do it. But those files are abnormally large, and
they slow down my system. That's how large
my computer would just crash.
Yeah, and it's
thank God I don't have to go through that.
Yeah,
everything I got, my phone, my computer, everything is always maxed out.
Yeah,
I know my hard drive would be as well.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking about that with these cameras. You know, we had shifted from we did a Canon, then we moved to Sony. And then we moved to Panasonic, and then we did a mix of Panasonic and Sony. So right now we do Sony for, I'm sorry, we do Canon. I mean, I confused that for photography, and we use Panasonic for filming our show. But, you know, I would love to film in the Canon, and I actually feel like the Canon looks a little nicer as well. For the ones we have, I think we have the Mark V or something, and another, one of the mirrorless ones, not this one, the one below it, but it, you know, but the files are so big. And I was like, this is so hard to work with for what I'm doing. It's like, not, I feel like it's too much. Although the look of it is just phenomenal. I think it looks amazing. So pretty cool. So tell us about your gear this year. So I know we talked about it on Instagram, but why don't you go ahead and rehash kind of what you'll be using this year and what, you know, companies you're working with.
Yeah, I should have brought it out here with me. But yeah, we got the Matthews V3 bow. I'm shooting it. That's what I've been shooting this summer. And I did a custom job. I did the green one with the orange string. It's pretty nice. Sweet looking bow. And I'd love to get that thing dipped in bottom land. That's like my ultimate goal. I would just have to send it back off to Matthews to get the logos and all stamped on it. But one day I'm going to dip me a Matthews in bottom land. You know,
that's cool.
Something I think would just be totally BA, but that I'm shooting the Slick Tricks, the Raptor Tricks. Those are the ones I was telling you about earlier. I've shot a lot of broadheads over the years, and that those are hard hitting and complete pass through as good as any I've ever shot. And when they approached us about talking about it, I had a couple of buddies who were already shooting and working with them, and they're like, "We will not lead you, you know, down the wrong path. You know, just trust us." And I've been incredibly happy with them.
Yeah, these look amazing. If you haven't seen them, they're vicious looking. They are a beast of a head. Yeah. And even the head on it is like, it's so cool looking. It's like almost like two different sizes or something. It's hard to explain it until you see it, but it looks really nice. I have not shot that one yet, actually. I was just thinking about that because I know they're sending us some this year for some testing, but I hadn't seen that one yet. Or that assailant. That looks crazy too.
The new one, yes. I have not shot that one. I have some, but I haven't shot it yet. And I'm one of those guys. I like to shoot it and see what it does before I go, you know, preaching it from the top of the rock. But you know, Slick Trick is known. I mean, they have always been. There's people that will fight you over there. You know, they're fixed blades. That's what a ton of people shoot at elk. And if you're shooting a fixed blade, everybody knows what a Slick Trick is. So they're fairly new to the expandable market last few years. And, but I'm an expandable guy. I always have been. I know some people frown upon them, but I am an expandable guy, and I have drug hundreds of deer out of the woods for me and my dad, friends, buddies, whatever, that have been shot with all kinds of expandables. So that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like every head has some issues somewhere sometimes. So it's like, it's whether it's mechanical or fixed, the debate would go on forever, but I feel like it's both for me. So like, for instance, I've had errors with mechanicals and I've had errors with fixed. So
right.
It doesn't matter. I mean, like, to me, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, but I was going to say to you, this, they have an SS3 one piece broadhead, and I started playing around One Piece broadheads with a couple different brands the last 2 years. I've been playing around with these ideas because I was in my head. I was like, I'm just curious, like, if I shoot a solid broadhead that's CNC'd out of One Piece or whatever, like, is it going to fly good or is it going to, like, you know, because it's a fixed head, is it going to, like, waver? So the two brands I tested, it was actually one of the most incredible things I've ever seen because I shot this deer with one with a crossbow and I couldn't believe it. Like, it flew so true because, you know, you get the lighted knock, you can see it. It was just like a beam right through its heart. I'm like, wow. And I didn't think I was going to hit this thing, let alone shoot right through the heart with this thing, and how dead on it was. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow. And so then later in the next year, I used a mechanical and I had an error early in the season. And I got frustrated and I said, I'm going back to the other one, whatever, now with my compound. And so I go back to the other one and sure enough, a buck walks out and I double lung it and that's it. You know, it was like clean, just. So then I was like, all right, now I feel like, I have two for two with this broadhead, right? I'm like, should I change? Should I not? But one of the issues we run into here is we work with a lot of broadhead companies. And so we kind of, and a lot of them sponsor the show. There's companies that
experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Everyone has moments in their life where they need help. Real help from a real person. A true human connection. Tell Me What Happened, an original podcast created by OnStar, is a new series that tells stories of those exact moments. Every episode features a person needing assistance and a stranger stepping up to provide it. They are stories that will leave your heart racing and your spirit lifted. Join me for Tell Me What Happened, true stories of people helping people.
Sponsor the show, there's like three or four that have broadheads. I mean, it's insane. So we try to like just be fair and like, you know, randomly go through them. And like Jamie will use a different one than me. I use a different one than Tim and all that. And we just, so we get a little content for everybody, but it's difficult because you're always changing, you know, like I think a normal hunter would just buy something. It works good. They love it. They stick to it, you know?
Yeah, right.
And it makes sense.
Yeah, you guys are in a different position, especially, I mean, when you look at how many broadhead companies are out here nowadays and, you know, half of those guys probably don't even really need to be in business, you know, but everybody thinks their head's the best, you know, why wouldn't you, you know, if you're putting it's your labor of love, I get it. But, it's one of those things that nobody will ever agree on the same broadhead. It's like trucks and bows and, you know, whatever else you want to compare, but people are extremely passionate about broadheads.
Have you had a chance to, cause Slick Trick's owned by Outdoor Group owns solid broadheads as well. Have you had a chance to test those ones at all?
I have not. No,
they're expensive, but I heard they're like amazing. Those are, again, I think are one piece, but like really cut up like to a detail. Right. From my understanding, they look really good. I haven't actually shot them. I don't think I've ever got solid broadheads. Now I think about it,
those are super expensive ones. Like
I think they're high end, yeah,
$100 or something.
I don't know if they're that much, but I'm pretty sure they're very high end. They're all, oh no, here they are. Yeah, I was trying to find the price, but I don't see it. I know they're very high end, but I think it's because of the way they're machined, and built or whatever. So, so Jeff, are you guys doing gun hunting as well?
Yeah, we do. I've always been, you know, I love to bow hunt. That's my passion, but I'm going to hunt with whatever's in season. You know, to me, it's about the chase. It's about the animal. And yes, I would rather kill it with my bow. That's my number one goal. But if it's muzzleloader season, I'm carrying a muzzleloader. And if it's a, you know, rifle, I'm typically carrying my rifle.
Now, do you normally take like an actual rifle, like a 30-06, or do you take like in our case, like in Michigan, we use the Bushmaster 450, the 350 Legend.
Yeah, straight walls. Yeah,
yes, correct.
It depends, you know, what the episode that's airing right now, actually on that other channel, we're in Kansas and we can shoot a rifle out there. Now, that being said, Kyle was shooting a muzzleloader because he drew a muzzleloader tag in early season. They got like that September, the 15th or something season, you can use a muzzleloader. And if you don't fill your butt tag, then you can hunt in the rifle season with the muzzleloader, but you can only hunt with a muzzleloader. But like, I'm a landowner, so I can hunt with muzzleloader, rifle, bow, whatever's in season. But Kansas rifle season, you can use whatever rifle you want. I think it's got to be, you know, 22 mag and larger or something. I forget exactly the, every state's a little different, but in Iowa recently, you know, it's always been a muzzleloader state or shotgun, but recently they've allowed the straight wall cartridges during the shotgun season. And, you know, the way that straight walls are changing, especially the 350, how fast it is, or even the 450, how hard it hits. I mean, there's not a huge gap in the straight wall versus, you know, your traditional deer cartridge, like it used to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know. We can shoot far.
I mean, everybody here has them. It's insane. You can't find 450 ammo for the life of you either.
Oh, no. Heck no. That or the legend.
Yeah, we found just a few boxes the other day, no boom, at hunt camp. Yeah. We went to the local hunting store, Bob's Outdoors, and we're like, and I go, man, if they just had some 350. And then he goes, there's 350. It's right there. I'm like, what?
Yeah. So yeah, had two boxes of 450 too.
Yeah, I bought the 450 and 350. It's the first time I've seen them. And guess what? I went to Dunham's, which is, I don't know if you guys have a Dunham's there, but it's like a local little hunting shop here. And they had it again, like the same one. So I don't know if a big shipment just went across the whole state of Michigan at once. But I didn't buy it again, though. I figured 40 rounds is pretty good. I mean, I rarely gun hunt because of Bowhunter Planet. So it's I think 40 is probably good enough for long term here.
Yeah, I grew up in the South, and, you know, that was right. Yeah, you bow hunted in bow season, but our rifle season started mid-October, and it would go through, you know, New Year's Day. So, I mean, those poor deer down there would just get hammered. But
yeah, here it's 2 weeks. That's it. So, I don't know how that happened. Like, how could it only be 2 weeks? It's like,
now,
so
when
small.
Did they swap to the straight wall cartridges?
I'd say 5 years ago. It was about 5 years ago because I had a 12 gauge, the same 12 gauge I had since I was 16 until that. And then the next year I bought one and I'm just love that gun so much.
Right. Yeah. That's the way I am. I mean, the CVA Paramount that I shoot, I mean, I love a rifle, but if you said, okay, Jeff, there's a 200 inch buck right there. You get one shot, you can choose, you know, your 7 mag rifle or your CVA Paramount. That thing hits so hard. I mean, it's, you know, it's a 350 grain bullet, and it's there again.
Oh, yeah, so
difference than the muzzleloader, the new high speed muzzleloaders than a rifle. I mean, we're shooting at thing 200 or 300 yards, no problem.
Yeah, CVA is the one who makes my 450, right? No boom. It's a single
that
shot.
Single shot.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's CVA. Scout. I bet you it's that same one, but the 450.
Yeah, my son has got that same Scout in a 243. That's a sweet shooting gun.
Is it called the Scout?
There's two different versions. There's a Scout and a the Scout is the one you have may not be a Scout, but the 243 is a Scout. Let me look on their website. But
I'm on their website.
You know, recently PBA has always been muzzleloader, and then they've
been the
single
Scout.
Shot.
I have the Scout.
Yeah, well, that's what cash is too.
Yeah, mine's a fluted barrel like that with that little muzzle brake.
It breaks open.
Yeah, that's the exact gun. Yeah, the one right there. If you click Scout, I have the actual Scout, not the other one. It looks like just the Scout. There's a couple.
You got the blue barrel or the black?
I got that silver.
Yeah, blue. Yeah.
Yeah, is that what it is? Blue. Yeah. So I don't know much about guns. Sorry.
Yeah, I get that.
That's a good gun.
I know a lot about pistols.
I went with the Ruger like the rest of Michigan.
Yeah.
Those things
I got
are
the
like
Ruger 350
hot on the streets.
It's like when Savage came out with that 20 gauge bolt action.
Yeah.
I almost went to that until
everybody.
This
and I have one, you know, I have one when I was hunting the slug seasons, but it's a solid gun. It hits hard.
Yeah, that's cool. CVA is cool, man. That's a cool company to work with because I feel like I've had a couple CVAs actually, because I know I had muzzle. We used to do a lot of muzzle loader back when I was younger. And I'm pretty sure they make some sweet guns. I know that. I know I took a 298 yard shot and missed. I remember that. I was like, I don't know if there's enough powder. It wasn't with their gun. I don't know what the hell I was using back then.
Everybody has a crazy muzzle-loaded story. I mean, good Lord, gun not going off. Or, I mean, I could write a book on some muzzle-loading experiences. but I still got all my hand, my fingers, so that's good.
Yeah.
Man, what a year, huh? It's been such a crazy year. I feel like, you know, when we look at like, just, I think what I mean is like inventory for companies. Like, I feel like it's been terrible, like just terrible. Wow. Like, and it's okay. Product, but you know, getting arrows, I mean, stupid stuff. Like, you're like, holy cow, man, this is like, I don't know if I'm, we're gonna have to find some old stuff to use because I don't think we're getting anything this year.
You got to get what they got left over at Walmart. But yeah, the supply chain is broken on just about anything.
Yeah.
Across America. But every one of these companies talk to you, if they're truthful, they'll tell you 2020 was their best year in forever. Yeah. So you got, not only they're selling out everything they got, regardless of the supply chain issues. Now you got supply chain issues and, you know, you can't find ammo. You can't find anything. And you can't get it. They can't get it more in stock quick enough.
I feel like it's tricky though, right? Like, it's one of those things where in our business, it's a little tricky because let's just say, just throwing out a random example. Let's say that I have a deal in place with Pearson Archery, who I don't think is in business, but let's just say Pearson Archery. And they say, let's say they're going to sponsor a hunting show I own and they're going to pay X amount of dollars and give you 5 bows, right? So they pay the X amount of dollars, but they give you 0 bows. So the question is, does that mean that they should be technically liable for the money, for the cost of the bows at least? Because you're technically out money because you would have gotten 5 bows plus this amount of money. Or if you would have known you weren't getting the bows, you would have maybe charged more.
Yeah.
So that disposition.
Yeah, factoring that in, yeah, because you look at, oh, I like a bow or a gun. Those are obviously big ticket items, but you know, you're going to use it a couple of years. And if it's not your backup, when you may sell it to use that money for another one or something. So yeah, I mean, I think that's legit.
Yeah. Cause this is a position I'm in with multiple brands right now. Yeah. I can't get anything. So a lot of times when I make a deal with a company, there's a deal put in place, including product, right? So that we can show the product off and there's this, but that's also leverage that you say, okay, well, if it's $3,000 in products, I'm not going to charge you as much. Right. So, but now you're this position where you're like, oh my God, like, what do I do? It's like,
yeah. And I've seen that some. And before this, I dealt with that on a company and I was like, cause they couldn't keep it in stock. And I'm like, well, if they send it to me, they're not making any money. They're losing money. And if they're sending it and all I'm going to do is help promote it to sell them more of them. But if they can't keep what they have in stock already, what good am I, you know? So I try to put myself in their position, but, man, it's
tricky. It's a tricky one.
And
so anyway, are you
made in America companies, the guys that are not having to wait on these giant container shipments and stuff from overseas or have a little bit of a leg up right now because they can just ramp up production if they can get the parts. Yeah. Yeah.
So are you guys still working with most of the companies on your page?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that page is 100%
updated. Yeah. So you're working with Heavy Shot?
Yep. Working with Heavy Shot.
How does that's got to be kind of cool? You get like a case of ammo at once.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, same thing. They had supply chain issues last year, but it was because they couldn't keep whatever they had. They could not keep it in stock. And then when they'd get some, they'd sell it again. So I was like, "Look, guys, we got enough." And you know, we got this one product we want you to promote, and like, hey,
it's kind of a. What's the word I'm looking for? It is a internal battle because you have their marketing team who doesn't care. Their job is to like market a product. So they need the product in your hands to do it. Otherwise, a good example is we have some of the same issues here. We're supposed to like get these. I'm not going to talk about what it is, but we're supposed to get this thing in and we're supposed to be doing stuff with it, but we don't have it. We've been paid, but we don't have the product to do the work. Yeah. So like you're now, see what I'm saying? So now they're put in a position of like, I need them to have the products. They're doing the job. And it's not just about, it's also about content creation that they need. Cause you got to remember, you know, like we talked about earlier, Instagram, TikTok, they need stuff to post. Like, it's not like they can just create all that manually. That's what they're paying us to do. You know, all of us, whoever it is, your show, my shows, whatever. So I feel like sometimes you get put in that, you know, interesting spot. Interesting though. What happened though, I didn't know this. So Camp Chef sponsored our podcast this year. Thanks to Camp Chef. Thank you. And they're owned by Vista Outdoors and they have tons of brands. And once I told them, I said, well, hey, you know, we're looking to do this Gun Hunter Planet. Instantly, they put us in touch with all those gun manufacturers. It was like unbelievable. I'm like, holy, I mean, just like that. But the thing is, this year ain't going to do anything because they don't have anything. They right? can't do anything. You can't even say something like, I don't want no money. I just want a couple of products to do some videos. They don't have the products.
Right. They even send you that. Yeah. Best Outdoors just bought Heavy Shot, you know, so we're kind of
part of
the Best Outdoors team
that's great.
Merging or.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's excellent. Yeah. So yeah, that's cool though. It's cool. You get ammo though when you need it. I mean, that's really neat. I love it.
Yeah, we're waiting on our duck shells now. You know, we just put in our order about a month ago, but you know, we're, you know, hey, we're just being patient because it's.
Yeah. Well, you have to, right? There's nothing else we can do.
And I think the good companies, I think you look at the companies that are on the top of their game, you know, like a Heavy Shot or like a Matthews or somebody, or even a CVA, the marketing company, those guys, not only do they know what they're doing, but they mesh well with the guys running the rest of the business. Because so many times, some of these companies I've seen, they've got these marketing guys that don't have not only really a clue about their product, but they don't have a clue about what's going on at the factory. You know, they're working from home.
Yeah. Or whatever.
And, you know, they're, like you said earlier, they're wanting that video you shot. They have no idea that there's not zero of those products available in the U.S. right now because of
the sold out.
So the companies that do well, I think, can mesh all those departments together. Because, I mean, you've seen it. Some of these guys in the marketing business, you know, are in a little overhead, not really knowing what's wrong.
Yeah.
Marketing is a vicious, vicious.
Yeah, it is. They get cut a lot too. Every time I turn around, it's a new guy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff Lindsay, thank you so much, man. Lindsay Way, appreciate it. Good luck this year on your hunts and keep us informed because we definitely want to help post some of those pictures when you're killing stuff that you can post. I mean, whatever's allowed, I should say.
Absolutely. Yeah, we appreciate you guys for the support, tags, and all that. And good luck. And if we can help you guys in any way, let us know.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you guys next time.
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait, see your local Honda dealer today.